Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, I want to walk you through and take you behind the scenes on a project that I spent the last 6 months of 2020 working on, and that was spearheading the launch of a site called Overlander.com. If you're not familiar with it, overlanding is this idea and this kind of this niche of exploring a vehicle-based exploration and travel. So I don't know if you've seen a lot of the kind of surge of Toyota Tacomas and 4Runners and all these vehicles that have rooftop tents and extra fuel and water on the back and shovels and all this kind of stuff. That's kind of this niche. So yeah, getting these off-road vehicles and building them out and exploring oftentimes remote and often international places. So I'm going to take you behind the scenes today and talk about what went well, what didn't go well, what blew up in my face, the lessons learned, how the project came to fruition, why I did it, all this kind of stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. It was definitely a learning experience and grew a lot from it. And we were able to, at the end of it, put out a pretty cool website. So before we jump in, though, I want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Klaviyo, powering the email marketing and SMS engines of over 40,000 e-commerce store owners. And if you're not generating a meaningful amount of your revenue from your e-commerce business from email, you should be for a couple of reasons. One, it's an asset you own. Of course, you know this. You don't have to, bow down to the Amazon and Facebook and Google gods and, live in fear that they're gonna steal your daily bread and manna. But it's, secondly, it's one of, if not the highest ROI-ing, is that a word? I'm going to use it as a word. Highest ROI-ing activity you can do in terms of just return on your time and your effort. And Klaviyo is a tool that by far and away, in my experience and the experience of the members of our private community, is the best tool to do that for e-commerce today in terms of just their functionality, their ability to build out web forms and design beautiful emails to segment your list, to sync up with your cart, etc. So if you want to get started, start investing in that channel or just supercharge it. If you're already doing some efforts, check them out and get started for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. All right, let's go ahead and jump into all the details, gory details of the launch of Overlander.com. All right, so some quick background for this. There were really, in addition to myself, two major parties that were coming together to launch this brand. The first one was the team at Auto Anything, which is run by longtime friend Drew Sinaki. He's the CEO over there, and it's a business that he's been running for 18, 24 months now at some point. And they had been looking to get into the overlanding space. It's a space that's been growing, a lot of increased interest there. And it also kind of dovetails nicely with some of their suppliers. And also they sell auto parts. And so they've been looking to get into that game. They had connected with a company called Expedition Overland. And it's run by a couple of friends of mine, actually, from college back. I went to college in Bozeman, Montana. They live in Bozeman. They went to school there. We knew each other back in college days. And they've, over the last 10 years, built up this incredibly popular YouTube series and Amazon series of videos about them overlanding the planet. They've gone, pretty much across all of North America. They've done lots of international trips, and they put together these really high-end, beautifully produced videos. And so the goal after they came together was they said, well, Auto Anything, let's go ahead and Auto Anything can kind of do the supplier relationship. We can do operations, customer support, all the e-commerce stuff. And then Expedition Overland can come and bring the creative part of the audience, help with some of the marketing, in addition to Auto Anything helping with the marketing. And it's, kind of this partnership to be able to launch a brand in the Overlander space. And Auto Anything also had this domain just sitting in their back pocket they'd never used, which was overlander.com, which is a pretty sweet domain name for something like this. And so Drew mentioned it one day when we were on we were talking or catching up or on a podcast or something like that. And he said he was hiring for somebody to lead this effort. In the past, they had kind of struggled to get it off the ground. We're trying to find someone who could really run with it. Yeah. And make it a reality. And so I kind of jokingly said, hey, that sounds pretty awesome. Heck, I'll do that. And initially I told Drew, yeah, that sounds fun, but that's probably not going to work out. But Drew impressively kind of came back and persisted and kept coming after me. And I started giving it some real thought. And, people have asked me, why did you do this? Because effectively, this was a, it was just a contract role. It was a consulting role. There was no equity play or anything like that for me in it. We discussed it a little bit if that was a possibility, but for a bunch of reasons I won't bore you with, that just unfortunately wasn't on the table. And I've had people ask, like, why did you do this? You've got your own business. You know, this is going to take a big chunk of your time. And there was, you know, effectively, why go be a, you know, a consultant or an employee for someone else for 6 months when you've already got your own business and you don't need to? And it's, for me, it wasn't about the money. It was about three things. One, the experience I thought was interesting. It was a chance to jump in, manage a fairly large team to, or at least oversee a meaningful team to try to get a project off the ground in the e-commerce space. And it's been a while since I've really gotten my hands dirty on that front. And I thought it'd be a good growth perspective, which, or growth opportunity, which it very much was. And I thought it'd be great to be able to get my hands dirty, get back in the trenches a little bit. So that was appealing. I like the people a lot. Drew, think very highly of and enjoy working with him. Clay and Rochelle over Expedition Overland on the overlanding side. You know, I think they're great people and thought the chance of working with them was interesting. And also, I like the space. You know, I have if you've listened for a while, you may know, I have this old 1990 VW Synchro van that we use as an adventure rig for our family. I'll link up a little video to it in the show notes. If you're in the overlanding space and you geek out on this kind of stuff, if you want to take a look. And it's a space I've loved, I've enjoyed. And I've always wondered what it would be like to be able to really dive and, you know, dive into an e-commerce project or any business where you had a huge passion as opposed to just, because I've been kind of a mercenary when it's come to a lot of my past e-commerce businesses, CB Radios, Trolling Motors, zero interest in those. It was a completely data-driven approach. I thought, this will be interesting to see how this looks on, you know, what's it like if you actually, is it how much more fun, successful, et cetera, can it be if you're doing something you really know intimately well? So those were the reasons why I decided to do it. So it came on board July 1, kind of hit the ground running. And my responsibilities were the following. I needed to develop the brand, unique selling propositions, and the brand voice. So really shape those. I needed to pick all the products in the catalog. So what products were we going to sell? What vehicles were we going to focus around? Those kind of things. And pick the suppliers, help recruit some of the suppliers, and pick the products in the catalog. I needed to help craft the website. So Kurt from EtherCycle and his team took the lead on designing it and building it out. But it was my kind of call to say, hey, well, how do we want this to look? You know, kind of have the last say on what's the structure look like? What's the brand feel like? How does the site function? What's different about it? What's the hierarchy category structure? How do we want to, you know, make it stand apart? All that kind of stuff. Develop a product label line. So, or excuse me, a private label line of products. So one of the strategies was, because a lot of these products were going to be resold, they were just, you know, they were existing products being drop shipped or sold from inventory. You know, the margins aren't phenomenal on that. So long term, the strategy is to be able to build out a private label line to increase those margins for profitability. And then finally, help coordinate some of the early marketing efforts for the brand. And I came in with a 6 month time frame, very strictly, kind of saying, like, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to help get this launched, architect it, try to help get it off the ground. And then end of the year, I'm going to step away regardless, because it's sounds really interesting, but it's not something I can commit to long term. And so that was kind of the plan going forward. And so quick spoiler jump to the end of this, and our goal was to hit $1 million run rate, which is a little over 80 to 90,000 per month in revenue by the end of the first month or month or two. And we almost hit there. We didn't quite get there, but the gross revenue from Black Friday to the end of December was about 78,000 before we accounted for returns due to some supply chain issues, which I'll get into in a bit. So we almost got there, not quite, but still, you know, a meaningful launch for the brand. So let's get into the good, what I thought was interesting or went well, or I was proud of. The first thing was, I thought it's amazing what you can get done in 5 months when you really have to. I think, speaking for myself, you get a business up and running and you build a little momentum and you get a little stability or comfort, and you forget how efficiently you can work if you have to make decisions on a timetable to hit a certain launch and you have people that are kind of relying on you. And I feel like we just got a ton done. It was ambitious, and you know, but to get the whole site live, brand developed, private label line well underway, marketing, and just, you know, corral all of these suppliers and launch within 5 months, it was impressive. So I think it was a good reminder of, a lot of times things take longer than they have to because we are not because they have to, but because we are not moving as quickly as we could. Second thing is, I think if I had to point to the biggest thing that I was proudest of for this, it would be the brand identity that we ended up shaping and built. And two elements of that. The first one is kind of the positioning, and the second one is the actual feel and brand logo that we put together. On the positioning front, if you're selling existing products, which we are, you know, we have product private label line that's coming out, but you know, that's still a couple months away from having the stuff actually sellable in our warehouses. That's a tough place to be in. It's hard to sell existing products in 2021. And so a really critical unique selling proposition was super important. And the one we settled around was tagline of proven gear you can trust, with the idea being we have a huge selection of products, but not just any products, really high-end products that you can count on for the long term. And to back those up, we'll have a 60-day trail-tested guarantee. So if you come in, you buy a set of MaxTrax, they break on you in the field, or even if you just get out and you don't think they perform like they should, send them back, even if they're used, and we will take them back. Very similar to the REI approach. And this is almost certainly going to be a short to medium term cost center, because even if you sell great stuff, you're either going to have picky people, you're going to have stuff that breaks, you're going to have to pay for it. And it's, you know, getting used stuff that you have to return the customer full price for that's tough. But what I know from personal experience on spending and investing in my rig is that people spend an unholy amount of money on these types of vehicles, tens of thousands of dollars. And if you treat people well and you stand behind your products, it's not crazy to expect that somebody could spend, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $12,000, even $20,000 with you over the course of 4 or 5 or 6 years. And if you know, so that's kind of the calculus, the long lifetime value that goes into this, that kind of very generous return policy. The other thing is we were informed by a lot of the experience from Clay and Rochelle of what works and what doesn't. And so they have a great bead on, hey, these are great products that you're not going to have problems with. And so that helps mitigate the risk there as well. So I love that, you know, the kind of almost like an REI style backstop to the brand in terms of positioning. From the logo perspective, I love the Bear logo that we ended up designing. And I have to give credit to Sean, who is a phenomenal graphic designer. I'm going to put a link to his website and his profile in the show notes that all of our private community members will be able to access. If you're looking for someone to do, you know, great, great design work, especially on the logo front, phenomenal. He helped out with the backcountry design and did an amazing job. And if you look at our logo, if you just looked at it by default, you would not know that it was a logo for an overlanding company. And at first that worried me a little bit. My first instinct was to try to build something that had tire tracks or roads or like a mountain and a sun or something similar to a lot of the other brands that they're doing. But when you look at our logo, it embodies all of the things that the brand stands for: durability, strength, wilderness, expedition, movement, travel through the wilderness, all of these kind of things. And it's the kind of logo that is very noticeable. It has a very angular design that kind of matches with a lot of the angles with back overlanding gear. Anyway, I think it's the kind of mark that is super distinguishable, very interesting, very noticeable. And it could be something where in a couple of years, people see it even without the name on it. And they know that that's the mark for backcountry.com. It's a mark you can build a brand around, which I think I love how it turned out. And I think it's going to be a good addition to the brand. So love how the brand worked out. Takeaway being, you know, be different, be brave with your brand. It pays off. It struck me how amazing it is to have good creative to help build a brand. We had such incredible assets, photography, video, to be able to build out the website and some of the product pages from the Expedition Overland team. And it makes such a huge difference. And I've never had the chance to build out a brand with amazing, you know, visual creatives. And it's so worth it. So in the future, I'll be investing in that more heavily. We're trying to partner up with people who have it because it's a massive advantage. I think I learned this lesson from every launch I've ever done. You know, at this point, I've probably been responsible for pushing 7 or 8 new sites or carts or redesigns live in my e-commerce career. But there's always this reluctance to push your new site live because you've got a punch list. It's not perfect. You've got to do X and Y and Z. And you do have to have a standard, a quality standard, but get it live as soon as you humanly can. You know, you learn so much from getting it live. The hordes don't just, you know, even when you get it live, we all have this idea that, you know, people are just going to come in mass and bomb your site. And, you know, Inc. magazine is going to write a story about how it's horrible and ugly and it failed. It's not going to happen. Chances are few people are going to notice. do a soft launch, get it live, ramp it up, try to get your site live sooner rather than later. It's almost always an advantage to do that, and definitely was the case in this launch as well. I was very encouraged by some of the writers that we had, one in particular for Overlander.com, that outsourcing good written content is actually possible. And this is something that is, I think, you know, marketing in general is difficult if you're outsourcing it. Writing is, I think, very difficult for outsourcing it, at least in my experience. And we had a writer who, shout out to Stephen, all the writers were great, but particularly Stephen was phenomenal in that he, you know, he had been out, he'd overlanded through Africa. He was a great writer. He had a great sense of style. Yeah, just did exceptionally good, especially on the non-technical side for some of the more lifestyle stuff, did a really nice job. And I'll link up to one of his articles on coffee that he wrote. And it just really encouraged me. I think, I don't know about you, but as an entrepreneur, I tend to think I have to do everything, or at least do a lot of everything. And it gave me a huge amount of confidence that in an area where I thought previously was extremely hard to outsource and get quality results, to see someone doing something as nuanced as writing in a brand voice for a very specific niche and doing it much better than I could have, it was hugely liberating to think, okay, this is awesome. In this venture and also in my future endeavors, like, I need to just do a better job of finding the right people, because yeah, it was very freeing, if that makes sense. So outsourcing good writing and other areas that you may not think are possible, good chance are possible if you find the right people. Another lesson was, don't be afraid to negotiate on domains. I had to pick a name of our private label brand, as well as a site that we could use as a backup in case Overlander.com wasn't something we could stick with long-term for trademark issues. And we ended up going with the name Roadless.com. Shout out to Annie, who was like the naming genius. She came up with it, and I just pretty much stole her idea and went and got the domain. But negotiated with them back and forth, and we were able to get the domain for over 40% off what they were asking. And it was a meaningful price, and so which was nice. And so I think if you're looking at brands, if you're looking at domains, negotiate ruthlessly with people that have those, because a lot of times, especially the higher the price, you know, it's a pretty illiquid market. They may have been sitting on it for you know, 7, 8, 9 years. I feel like this domain had been in their pocket for 15 plus years. So you definitely get some steals on domain names from asking price. Don't be afraid to haggle on those. And then finally, it was great working with a lot of good people. Drew, Michael Epstein, who's the chief marketing officer over at Auto Anything, was a real pleasure working with him. Jesse, who is our project manager. Leah, who's the new head of Overlander, who took over the last 3 or 4 weeks ago. Clay and Rochelle from XO, Kurt from EtherCycle, and a lot of others I'm not mentioning. It was good working with, you know, smart, fun, competent people and being a part of a team like that, a larger team. So that was definitely a highlight of the whole project. So those were some of the high points, some of the things I was proud of that went well. Let's get into the mud on the face failures on my part and just the difficult parts. So one thing that was hard about a project like this was I was trying to do a lot. I mean, as I mentioned, create the brand, website overview, catalog selection, private label build out, you know, marketing, all of this stuff. And it was, I didn't feel like I had the bandwidth to do everything as well as I'd hoped and hit that 5 month timeline. And so it was always, there was often a thinking through trade-offs. How much time is important for, you know, where do I need to allocate resources? And as someone who tends to be a little perfectionistic, it was probably good for me because there was stuff that I had to move on from when we were putting the catalog together, you know, in August or so. And a big thank you to Ryan Conley, who helped out a lot with that. He was hugely helpful in helping build out that catalog partnership with myself, but he took a lot of the early crack at that and the heavy lifting on that. So thank you, Ryan. It's just at some point you have to say, we know this isn't where we want it to be, but we have to hit this deadline. We have to move forward. And so we're gonna lock it and move forward. And you can change things and tweak things in the future, but that was hard. So not feeling like you have the time to do everything, or not feeling like I had the time to do everything was a challenge. I thought at the very top, I mentioned one of the reasons I did this was because I love the overlanding space. I wanted to be involved in a project that it was something I loved and was personally passionate about. And I realized, maybe this sounds super obvious, but a passion for a niche does not make a project easy. I think after the initial excitement of being in the space wore off, especially once, let's say 2-3 months into it, once we're starting to tackle problems and stuff's starting to get hard, The fact that it was a sexy overlanding niche, at least in my opinion, really didn't matter at that point. I mean, it was cool and it had a little bit of, there's definitely an advantage of knowing your customer, knowing from a brand position standpoint and knowing some of the products you do or don't want to add into the line. That helps a lot. But in terms of the sticking with it perspective, it doesn't make it any easier, I think. And it, at some point you forget this is a niche you're passionate about and it just becomes, you know, the project that you're working on. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. And maybe it's super obvious, but it wasn't for me obvious until I got into the weeds of it. We had, and I'm sure this is something that was shared by a lot of people this year, we had some massive supply chain issues. And this was frustrating because we launched on, you know, the day before Black Friday, had some Black Friday sales. And as I was trying to put together some of the items that we were going to feature for Black Friday, it was brutal because a lot of them were out of stock. And we couldn't feature them. And, or it was like, you know, 3 or 4 week lead times. And a lot of the stuff that we did end up, you know, going live with, I think our conversion got hurt because again, yeah, they weren't available for a while. So it was a rough year for private label, for just not private label, for just availability in general. And that not only caused problems on the marketing front, but it caused problems on the customer service front too. And especially launching a new brand, trying to get a lot of our processes and things in place, we ended up selling a lot of stuff that wasn't in stock because the inventory feeds weren't right or because it was a brand new vendor that we hadn't, you know, we were still trying to learn, you know, sync up and communication on what was in stock, what wasn't. And so that was a huge frustration point and made it hard launching the brand. Let's talk about private label a little bit. So the goal was to launch with, you know, probably, yes, or not launch with, but to be able to hopefully in, you know, the Q1 of next year, have some private label products that we could sell at a much higher margin. You know, if you're reselling products, your you know, point spread is probably 20-30%. If you're lucky, maybe 40. Private label products are significantly higher than that. You know, probably, you know, 45-60% maybe. And it was a good reminder for me of how hard private label is and how hard it is to be able to create your own product line. And we were working with someone who has had a great catalog of stuff that we could already pick from. And so we had a head start on that. We weren't working just exactly from scratch, but even still, the process of hammering out a private label agreement, we actually worked with him where he took a smaller fee because he was managing a lot of the supplier relationships and all of that kind of stuff. And so even the process of just working with him, getting to know him, picking the products, A, that we wanted to private label, hammering out an agreement with him that included a royalty fee for a while, getting the products shipped, looking at them, making minor tweaks, getting those tweaks incorporated, starting to review packaging, coming up with the order quantities, all this kind of stuff. Even that took, to get to the point where we're getting the pre-production samples, took 4 months-ish. And that's for products that we already knew that we were working from in a catalog, right? Like, just crazy. A while back, I did a small project as a, you know, building out this custom seat back organizer that could fit full-size maps for my van. Again, that same thing. It surprised me how long, that was a fully custom product, and that took a while too. And these weren't fully custom, but we were doing, you know, a dozen of them, as well as one, we have one kind of banner product that's a rooftop tent that we're going to be releasing that definitely has a lot more IP and proprietary design, and that one's still in progress. But it just, again, it surprised me how much work it is, even when you're doing private label, to take stuff and make it, you know, bring it in and actually get it to the point where you can sell it. Another lesson learned was repurposing emails across brands is not a simple, straightforward process. So AutoAnything has probably a million different email addresses from customers. And one of the big things we were excited about was being able to use that database of all of those customers as a launch board for Overlander.com. And as we got closer to the launch, I started realizing, and we probably should have known this earlier, that like, even though they're the same company, the same, you know, kind of overhead company, it's you can't just take a bunch of email addresses from one brand and dump them into another without massive issues with deliverability or, you know, getting your, you know, email service provider upset at you. And you got to be really careful about that. And so we used a combination of getting people to opt in manually, of kind of launching, doing co-branded launches where, you know, we kind of had the AutoAnything and the Overlander banners the same at the top. But it was just problematic. And you know, we ended up having, you know, launching, you know, in the short term with a much shorter, much smaller list than we were anticipating because we didn't think through that. So anyway, if you're ever going to do something in the future, think through how you can, you know, you can best bring as many customers over to your new email list as possible, because you probably, you know, copying and pasting or doing a CSV export and re-importing 50,000 emails, unless you got a good reason for your ESP to bite on. And even if you do, from a deliverability metric standpoint, it's a tricky thing. So looking at the actual website, love the homepage. I think that category pages are well done. They've got a lot of video and copy, and they're all prioritized based on what products the actual Expedition Overland team has used in the field. They've got this little Expedition Overland endorsed badge, so people can quickly see the stuff that is really deeply trusted. Love those, love our notebook page. But the area that I think the site is still weak on and we need to improve on is the product pages, the build out of, we have some that are great, but a lot of them are just, they're not as built out from a media standpoint, from a description standpoint as I would like to see. And you know, when you're selling products that are existing products, you need to be able to have well built out product pages that help people discern what to buy, that can show authority, that help people really understand the product deeply. Otherwise, you're going to be at a huge disadvantage. And so part of this was a result of the tight time frame that we were on. Part of this was a result of me not doing a good job of kind of reviewing and setting expectations with the team that was adding this. And I'll talk about this more in the next episode. But yeah, it was, part of it was the fact we had, you know, 2,000 products to add and, you know, in about, you know, three and a half months, actually, by the time we picked the products out. Anyway, but that was a part that that's one of the top priorities moving forward for the team. Just kind of picking up from my work. Anyway, but that was a part that was tough and more challenging than I envisioned. It didn't quite work out the way I had hoped. Trademarks, man, I learned, and I didn't take the lead on this. Michael, the CMO, was the person who really dealt with the trademark issues, but learned that trademarks can be a real pain when you're trying to launch something. And I'm not going to get into all of the nitty gritty, just partially for legal reasons. But at a high level, with a name like Overlander, we had to make sure, Overlander is a fairly, you know, broad term. A lot of people are in the overlanding space, and you got to make sure you're not infringing. But I also learned that it's not even just about not infringing. You could be totally above board with what you're doing, with your marks that you have, your registrations. And if somebody is just even just aggressive in that space, you have to think about the threat from them. It's, you know, somebody can sue you. Doesn't mean that you're wrong, but you still have to deal with the lawsuit. So how much risk are you willing to take based on the past actions of other people in a space? So anyway, just made me think that, you know, again, I wasn't the point person on this, but thinking through how problematic this can be, doing your homework, talking to a good IP or trademark lawyer ahead of time to make sure you're not walking into any bees' nests. Because nothing, at one point we thought we might have to even change the name. And this was halfway through the process. You know, 3 months into this, we're thinking, oh my, are you kidding? We just developed all this and we're going to have to pivot. Thankfully, that didn't end up being the case. But if you're thinking about launching a new brand, it's worth the few $1,000 to have a good qualified trademark lawyer look over what you're doing, because it can save you a ton of hurt down the line. The last thing that was difficult was just the number of suppliers we were trying to coordinate for this launch. We probably launched with 50-ish plus or minus suppliers. Maybe, you know, 25 to 30 of those were already in the AA system, but at least a third, if not, you know, probably another 20 to 25, we had to go out and reach out to, connect with, sell them on the vision, or at least get them interested in the Overlander.com vision. You know, even then from there, just a lot of paperwork involved, getting them plugged into the system, terms, payment, inventory status, all this kind of stuff. And it was a lot, even for that small segment. It makes me think about some of these other bigger platforms or that you know, have hundreds or thousands of suppliers. And it is a lot to coordinate with all these different suppliers, many of which are not all the same, obviously. Like, you know, some are very sophisticated, have live data feeds that you can use and plug into. Others are, you know, kind of mom and pop shops that only ship stuff every, you know, 3 or 4 days, and they only do credit card terms and just dealing, you know, not a shocker here again, but the larger the number of suppliers, the more variety and variance you have in the types, and the just, you know, more overheads required to get them on board. And it was more work than I expected to be able to get them all on board, or even get, you know, there's a lot that just wouldn't even sell to us too. Some of them we couldn't convince. Some of them, a meaningful number said, hey, you know, sorry, we only sell direct to consumer, which again is understandable. I understand why a brand would do that. But I think I underestimated how much work it was going to be trying to get a lot of these suppliers. Even with, and this is even with some good, oftentimes warm introductions from Claire Rochelle over at Expedition Overland, because there was already some rapport there, but it was still sometimes challenging just to get everything done. Another thing we noticed too is with all the supply chain crunch stuff, if a vendor is running short on their inventory because of supply chain issues and they have more demand than they can fulfill, the last thing that they're going to do is say, "Oh yeah, you want to sell our stuff? Great. Why don't you come in and we'll set you up with an account and we will sell to you at half the margin we can sell to our end customers. Great. Sign us up." Yeah. Does not happen. So there's multiple accounts that we weren't able to get because, yeah, they just said, "Hey, we have limited stock. We'd rather sell it to our customers at full margin than you at half margin wholesale rates," which is, makes sense. So some suppliers, even the onboarding of the suppliers was tough, particularly in some of the supply chain challenges we had this year. So that is kind of the overview of the whole thing. That's some of the good and the bad and the, just general thoughts from doing that, for getting the brand launched and live for 6 months. And next week, I tried to focus on some of the more technical business aspect, e-commerce lessons in this podcast. Next week, I'm going to be back with another episode that's going to follow up with, which is more lessons on the people side and the management side, because that was, between the two, probably learned even more on that front than I did on the e-commerce and technical side of things. So hope you come back for that and hope you got at least a few lessons out of this one, if not just, enjoyed listening to all the suffering that happened with many of the mistakes I made, because I made plenty. If you haven't plugged into our private community for e-commerce store owners, if the type of conversation if the type of monologue you were just subjected to is something you're still listening to one guy talk after, 20 plus minutes of this, you are exactly the kind of entrepreneur in person that would absolutely geek out inside our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands. So we've got a thriving, it's the largest community like this in the world of in the trenches e-commerce entrepreneurs, people that are talking about what's actually happening in their businesses, sharing, what's working well, what's not working well, tactics, asking questions, everything from SEO to tax implications to HR stuff. It's a huge treasure trove of not just conversations, but archives over the past 7 years of, what's working and what's not with e-commerce store owners. And apart from that, it's just an amazing community from a camaraderie standpoint. Some of my best friends are parts of this community, people I've met through this community, and I know a lot of others can say the same. And so if you've been lacking a community, a mastermind, a brain trust, and you're running a meaningful e-commerce store, check it out. I guarantee you'll feel right at home, and it will add a lot of value, not just to your business and your from the strategy side, but also to your personal network and your friends as well. And so you can learn more about that and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. That's going to do it for this week. Again, a big thank you to Klaviyo for making the show possible. Get started with them for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. Work hard and adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.